to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey, it's Go Yard time, and I am Mama Mac, along with my wonderful and educated and sweet and amazing and insightful Dr. Angel Falzoni. How are you tonight, Dr. Angel?
I am doing well. How are you?
Well, it's New Year's Eve, you know, when we're doing this show. So, hey, it's going to be a new year. A new year starts within a few hours, and we're going to be talking about all of that tonight on Go Yard. And we welcome you to text in, and even if you listen later on StarCom Radio Network.com. And I was talking to the CEO a few days ago, Ed Till of StarCom Radio Network. And our shows usually play there on Saturdays. This show around noon on StarComRadioNetwork.com, depending on where you are across the globe when you hear it. So we can't exactly tell you what time, because you may be one of those that listen on StarComRadioNetwork.com. So welcome every single one of you, wherever you are, whatever city, whatever country. And we originate right here in Clearwater, Florida, and where Dr. Angel and I both live in this area, and we originate here on Tantalk1340.com. And very excited about this show that we've been doing now for about 16 months, and it's just been a whole lot of fun, Dr. Angel, working with you.
Oh, it has been an amazing adventure.
Can't believe we're closing out another year, calendar year.
I know.
2015 went by very, very quickly. Maybe that's because I'm aging. I guess we all are. But it just seems like the years go by so quickly, and we have such expectations for what we want those years to be, and we try our best to make the best year possible. We're going to talk about expectations. We're going to talk about executing our expectations. And we're going to talk about not having any expectations.
Yes, we are.
We got a lot to talk about. We've got a really great title for this show, and I don't think we're going to be able to get through it all tonight. It may have to go next week also. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
But, you know, the whole thing is, no matter what age you are out there, dear listener, no matter what country or city or area you hail from, we all have so much in common. One of the things is that life does go past fast, and we've got to make the most of the time we're given. And at least we should want to do that, right, Doctor?
Absolutely.
And because of that, you know, sometimes it's good to reflect, think back on, plan a little bit, and make some changes in our lives. And this show is all about change, isn't it?
It is. That is the whole premise to our show. Changes, but one step at a time.
One step at a time. And I think a lot of times people try to change everything all at once. You know, losing weight. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to do it by next week. No, you're not.
Too much too soon. And then we aren't successful, and then we're discouraged.
Oh, gosh. I want to talk about that resolution thing with you in just a minute. If you'd like to text as you're listening to the show and offer a comment or a question for our Q&A, our question and answer shows that we have from time to time, it's easier to send those by email, goyard2014@gmail.com, or you can always text us, 727-888-4171. Always want to hear from our listeners. And because you're an active therapist and on the job, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, You even get some of your therapists that work with you to throw questions and comments on your desk, don't you?
Oh, I get a lot of questions and comments thrown on my desk or in my little mailbox outside my office door.
And we have a lot of listeners from those that work with you.
Yes, we do.
So thanks to every one of those who support the show and get involved with their questions and their comments. And we're always open to suggestions. And if there's topics you want to hear us discuss, we want you to send those to us because we're open to having a really great new year here in 2016 with the comments, the questions, but in particular, the titles, the topics that we want to cover that's going to help a lot of people. That's our goal.
That is the goal.
Yeah.
And so we're starting the new year off with talking about developing our life story.
Our life story. Our life story. What does that mean? I kind of like that. That's kind of intriguing title here to end this year of 2015 tonight and start the new year tomorrow morning. Developing your life story. Do you have to consciously do that?
Well, you can, but you don't have to. Your life story will develop if you're doing it consciously or not.
Right.
You know, our life story is just that. It's doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are,
right.
We are all doing this. This is part of the human experience. It's just the sum and the narrative of our life's journeys.
So, like, everybody has a time when they were born.
Yes, they do.
Of course, we don't remember that. But with me, with my kids, I don't know about you with yours, but when it's their birthday, I've had this common practice now for all these years. I call them and tell them how difficult their birth was. I call them and tell them what a joy, of course, it was when they came into the world and how their dad and I felt about that. But I also just tease them a little bit about the pain they caused me physically and all that. Or in the case of my daughter, it was a snowstorm in Indiana and getting to the hospital and, you know, crazy, crazy things happened. With my youngest son, born on Christmas Eve. That's a whole life story right there. And I love to tell about that. And, you know, I like to remind them, I guess is my point, Doctor, in a joking way, you know, about those events. And my grandchildren have gotten to the point that they love those calls on their parents' birthdays. And they'll, in the background, oh, let's hear it again. Put it on speaker. We want to hear how bad it was. You know, it's just kind of a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's an example, right?
That's a great example. And our life story is just, it's just that. All the sum of all these events that have brought us to where we are in our point of our story that continues to write until we take our last breath.
Exactly.
And so in our life story, we will all have, when we were born, we will all have certain milestones, most, you know, starting school, kinds of milestones, moving out on our own, depending on where we are, if we were married or had children or our careers or whatever.
Right.
But we're continually writing and developing our life story.
So I have a question for you. Do you remember the first day of school for you?
Oh, my gosh. I totally remember the first
day. Did you go to kindergarten?
I did.
See, I didn't. We lived in rural Indiana, and they didn't have kindergarten. My first day was first grade.
Aww.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, I was one of the first years that, I think I was like the second year they mandated kindergarten.
Okay. All right.
So that dates me a little bit.
But you do remember that.
I totally remember it, and I'm going to tell you why. I was so excited to get to go to school, because in my generation, we didn't go to preschool unless your parents worked, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and I had head lice, and they had to send me home, and I was so sad.
Oh, my gosh.
I cried.
How sad that is.
And they were serving spaghetti that day in the lunchroom.
Oh, no, and that was your first day of school?
That was my first day of school.
I remember sitting in this little, tiny, you know, kind of farm town, you know, in school, and I remember missing my mother very much, and my little sisters who got to stay home, and I thought it was unfair, because they were like, I don't know, one and three or four or something like that. And here I had to leave and get on the big old yellow bus pulled right up in front of my house. And I had to, little tiny thing, go out and get on that. I'll never forget that day. That was part of my life story that I've never forgotten, you know?
And that's just it. You know, there are some events that are just so ingrained in our life story that they're almost like concrete tablets.
Well, and they initiate emotion.
They do.
You know, I remember feeling at school those first few days kind of like mad that I had to go, you know, that my sisters got to stay home. But that feeling of missing my mom and my dad, you know, my dad was a pastor, so he was home a lot. So, you know, it was like everybody else stays home and I'm the one who has to get on a bus and go to school, you know. I remember that feeling. You know, some of you out there may remember feelings of your first day of school, or may remember a feeling you had when a brother or sister was born, or some big event.
And we call those events milestone events.
Milestone events
are really large events that had happened. And for everybody, it can be different things. It's individualized. So what's important in a milestone to me might not be a milestone for you, and that's okay. But those are those milestone events that are like concrete, driven in our brain that you're right. When you think about it, whatever that emotion is, it kind of comes back.
It does. Kind of weird, you know?
And we have those types of events in our life story.
Yeah.
And so that's one type of event we're writing in our life story all the time, of those milestone, those really big events.
Doctor, do you think some people try to change some painful milestone events in their lives, change it in their mind? Maybe they can't go back and change it. Obviously, they can't. But don't you think that some people struggle with their life story?
I think a lot of people do struggle, especially when there's negative. And there isn't a human alive that does not have negative parts in their life story.
Oh, absolutely. There's nobody.
No.
And so if that's you, just you're part of everybody.
And getting through our life story, and sometimes looking back, some of those negative events have been monumentous in making us grow and develop.
Right.
And have become opportunities.
Right.
In our lives. And without experiencing whatever this negative event was that felt like the world was ending, no matter what it was, it feels very, they're just very strong negative feelings. Without those, we might not have become where we are or have done something that we wanted to do or whatever has come through that.
Yeah.
But we all have negative parts. And some people do. When we haven't processed that, worked through it, sometimes we need to have professional help in doing that because sometimes they're quite traumatic. But when we haven't gotten there and that point of accepting it and understanding, we do sometimes try to pretend like it wasn't there.
Exactly.
Avoid it. You know, and what's happening is we're fighting it. And we can't. It happened. We can't change it because no one has a time machine. We're not going back and redoing that. So we need to process it, work through it, grow from it, and move forward with that part of our story.
So I know you do a lot of therapy with children.
Yes.
Okay. Do you ever find that maybe a parent says, this happened to Johnny? And when you talk to Johnny, he says, no, that didn't happen. Or it wasn't like that.
Well, you know, something similar. Okay, so I'll have a parent and they'll tell me about some trauma this child has experienced. And it was real. It really happened. It was trauma. But when I'm working with a child, he's not traumatized by it.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird, but we're individual. And so what might have the mother thought should have been traumatizing, and for her as a parent, it probably was traumatizing that her child experiences. The child, the way the child processed it on his own or has been working through it in therapy is not that trauma experience that you might think. And it doesn't matter what that trauma is. I've had kids who've been severely, you know, abused who have shown tremendous resilience.
Wow. Okay, which brings me to this question.
Mm-hmm.
Do parents try to write the life story of their children a lot of times?
There's some parents that do. I don't know if I'd say a lot of times.
Okay, explain that whole concept.
Well, sometimes parents have different memories. So maybe they're more positive, maybe they're more negative. It depends on what's going on and for the parent and the relationship. And there's a lot of factors. So life stories we gain, a lot of our early memories come because we can't really recall a lot of our early memories, early childhood. People tell us parts of our life story.
And it becomes what we think as a memory, right?
It does.
And a lot of times it's not really
real.
Our memory.
It's somebody else's.
It's somebody. That is huge. Boom. That is huge right there.
It is. And we're getting
ramifications on that.
From their perspective.
From their perspective.
So this other person thought this was horrible and really negative, and they're going to give it to you that way. It's going to become horrible, negative part of your life story. And it wasn't something that you might have even ever remembered.
Because, sadly, there are people who love drama. We talk about that a lot on this show. Or who feel sorry for themselves.
Or it's just something that they felt was really, for them, it was traumatic as a parent. And so they're just projecting those feelings forward.
Projection. Right. Okay. But it may not be that same effect on the child. That's what
no,
you're saying.
No, not at all.
And the child may not remember it that way at all or remember it at all.
Positive and negative. It works both ways. So there could be this really great experience. And, you know, I'm hearing, you know, from siblings or the parent, oh, this is wonderful. We had such an amazing time. We love this memory. It's our favorite. And the kid's like, oh, it's okay. I will never forget this. When I took... I have three boys. So I took, we went to Disney World, and Spencer, my youngest, he was probably five. And we're going through Disney World, and we're having such a great day, and we're going on all the rides. And like, this is Disney World. He's at the best age for Disney World. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's into
five,
this.
Yeah.
He is not afraid of Mickey anymore. We can do this.
Yes.
He was tall enough to ride everything. And he just looked at me, and he's like, I'm bored. And I was
oh, my gosh.
Baby, this is the best life gets.
It's Mickey Mouse.
Like,
it's Disney World.
Mouse,
this is it, young man.
So it can work both ways. And so we have to be careful that, though, when we're looking at our life story, is this my life story that has been given to me from someone else, or is this part of my life story that I remember myself?
Right. And there's no way to know where all that.
No. And so sometimes we need to look at that. But we're continually writing it. And that's the cool most, I think that's the coolest
thing
ever.
Every single day of our lives.
Every day.
Every day. And, you know, it always makes me sad, Doctor, to see people or encounter people who just exist in life. You know, they just go from, it's another day. And it's that tone, it's that, you know, that feeling sorry for themselves, self-pity.
The Eeyore syndrome, that's what we call it.
Yes, exactly. We do, too. We call it the Eeyore syndrome, too. And those, you want to explain that to our listening audience who may not be familiar with Pooh Bear?
Pooh Bear. Eeyore is the character in Winnie the Pooh who just, everything is just, oh, nobody loves me. Oh, it's not going to be a good day.
Everybody hates me. Yeah. And I think I'll go eat worms, yes.
Negative Nancy. And so there are some people who walk through life with Eeyore syndrome, and it's sad.
It is.
Because, you know, there's many amazing things.
Was that the same attitude that little Piglet had with Pooh Bear?
Not at all.
What was Piglet like?
That's the kind of attitude we want, that positive, happy, you know,
yes.
outlook.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it just depends on the proverbial glasses we put on, because we can experience the same
event.
Absolutely. And for one person, it's great, and for one person, oh, that's okay. Really, it's the way we're looking at it,
right.
too.
Yeah.
So it's not just what's going on around us. And the same is part of our life story.
Right. My son and daughter-in-law and I went to see Star Wars last night. Have you guys seen it?
I have never
Angel?
Seen a Star Wars movie in my life.
Chris, you're not a Star Wars fan? Well, it really is cool, especially when you wear the 3D glasses, because all that stuff pops out at you. All those battleships and everything and everything. And for some people, Star Wars, that's a good example. It's meh to them. To other people, it's like, wait, you know, and they're in line, you know, 5 days ahead of time or something crazy like that. So it's how we each have expectations for events in our lives or things we enjoy. I'm a baseball fan, as you know. That's why we named this show Go Yard. And I love baseball season. Can't wait. Chris is like that, too. You're not that much that way, are you?
No, I am not.
No, you are not. But you sure are about football. You're crazy.
Yes, I am.
And so, I mean, it's okay to be individuals, my point.
Absolutely. And that's really, we are all individuals. We are not made out of a mold. We're not a cookie cutter. We are each an individual person.
But
and our stories are equally as individualized.
But isn't it cool to have some things that people associate with you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
People do associate baseball with me. Okay. I grew up playing it as a kid because we lived in Central America and my parents are missionaries. And we didn't have radio. We didn't have TV. We had radio, but it was shortwave radio. But we didn't have TV. We didn't have entertainment other than what we did. So I grew up playing sports because I loved them, but also because that's all we did. You know, and that's how we interacted as kids, you know, and with the other kids around. And so that became a part of my life story, my love for sports and what how it brings people together, you know, and how you can just get out there and lose yourself in a game and just have a great time, you know. And so many people don't take advantage of the things that could add to their life story. That's my point I want to make, Doctor.
I hear you.
Would you amplify on that one?
Well, I hear you. And, you know, I think what happens is that there's a lot of individual people that are kind of just existing.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're not investing in something.
Yes. Yes. That's my point.
And they're not. Right. And so sometimes you're right. You can look at some people and go, oh, that person's, you know, these things are associated with that person. And these things are really associated. You know, when people hear me, you know, I've been a big Amy Grant fan my entire life.
Right, sure.
The Amy Grant song comes, everyone, oh, that's Angel, you know, because that's something that's been very important
exactly.
to me. And so, but you're right. There are a lot of people that just kind of exist and they're not involved.
Okay.
In investing.
I'm going to give you an example. My parents, missionaries, whatever. In the last few years of their lives, during retirement time, they went to a lot of Rays games or watched them on TV, okay? The other thing that they continually did was go to movies. And it was a joke among all of us and their grandkids, my sisters and I and our grandkid and the grandkids, because ask them about a movie. Oh, yeah, we saw it, and here's what happened. And no, don't tell us what happened. But, I mean, they stayed busy is my point. And they loved life. They're both gone to heaven now. But I tell you, we have such great memories from going to ball games with my parents, going to movies, dragging all 10 grandkids there. And that was typical of them. Let's take all 10 and go to the movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just making the extra effort. You know, didn't have a lot of money. It's okay. We go during matinee. You know, we go cheaply, you know.
Absolutely. And you're right. And I think that is missing for a lot of people. And so I don't know that we're all thinking that we're writing this life story every day.
Yeah.
Every choice you make is part of that life story.
It is.
Doesn't matter what that choice is. Every choice develops that story.
Right.
It's like writing the next page. Every day we're writing a new page.
But I think a lot of people don't even look at their life that way.
They don't.
They just think life happens.
They do. And then, it's going to be what it's going to be. It doesn't matter.
I can't
control this. You know what? We can control some aspects of developing our life story. Some we can't. I mean, the people who were, you know, involved in Hurricane Katrina that lived in New Orleans, they had no control over that storm coming through. But we do have a lot of control over how we view it, how we process it, and how we move forward.
Exactly.
With those milestone events. But the thing is we are writing, and so we have the New Year's. And so this is the time where a lot of people start thinking.
We're going to talk about what they start thinking right after this break. Don't go away. Continue to stay with us on Go Yard.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Hi, this is John Austin, host of the Book Club on the Tantalk Radio Network. I spent 35 years in publishing, and today I want to tell you about a book that can change people's lives. The book is No Cash, No Problem, and the author is Dave Wagenford with Ali Pervez. Dave Wagenford is one of the greatest barter experts in the world, and he's bartered over $500 million worth of goods and services. If you want to remodel your house, but the cost is just too high, or maybe there's an automobile that you've dreamed of owning but thought you never could afford, this book will tell you how you can do both of those things, plus hundreds more with little or no cash and without going into hock for the rest of your life. Maybe you're a business owner with a cash flow problem that leads to low or non-existent profits. Read this book and see how you can increase your cash flow and your profits by time-proven techniques. The book, again, is No Cash, No Problem, and you can buy it now on Amazon for just $7.98 for the ebook edition. Do yourself a big favor and buy it today.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is New Year's Eve in Clearwater, Florida, and wherever you are on the StarcomRadioNetwork.com, it may not be New Year's Eve, but you may be listening to this show later on, and that's okay. You can get a lot from it because this show is very important, developing your life story. Doctor, for those that are just now joining us, define that before we talk more about it.
Well, our life story is the sum of our life.
Okay.
Right till we take our last breath, from our birth to our death.
Right.
Our life story is being written.
Wow.
And every life story is different.
Do we have any control over that?
We have a little bit.
We do, don't we?
We do have some control.
Choices,
some,
right?
Yes, we do have some control on our choices, our perspectives. Those are the things we can control.
Our attitudes.
Our attitudes.
Half empty, half full glass.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
We don't always have control over all the events that go into our life stories.
But we can choose. I mentioned just a couple minutes ago about my parents. We can choose to make our lives more full, fuller, mm-hmm. or we can be the kind of person that is more like a hermit, that yes. just feels sorry for themselves and hibernates and all of that.
And becomes a victim.
Becomes a victim.
Story.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that. So, becoming the victim or what? The participant? Or what do you want to call it?
I don't know. You just threw that out there. But it's our perspective, our actions, our attitudes. Those are huge parts of how our life story plays
right.
out.
Right.
And what what's written.
What? Yeah. And so, and somebody out there may be saying, well, nobody's writing my life story. You are writing your life story, right?
Yes, you are.
And people will remember things about you, especially when you come to the time close to the end of your life. There's a lot of interesting time that happens around the memorial time, the funeral time, where people remember stories. I do a lot of funerals as a pastor, and about a year ago, a little less than that, went to Indiana and did the funeral of my uncle, very dear to me. And just the stories that came out at his memorial service were things, some things from neighbors, relatives, friends, that coworkers, that a lot of us didn't know about him. And it was fascinating, Doctor, to hear some of this as people stood up. Because as I conducted the memorial service, I said, now, does anybody want to say anything about my Uncle Jack? And they did. And it was really cool. It was really cool.
That is amazing. But you know what, Mama Mac? I have been to funerals where, like, 5 people showed up.
Yeah. And that's sad, too.
And that is so sad. That is tremendously sad.
And why does that happen?
So we are going to be working on developing our life stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, as New Year's approach, this is a time where a lot of us kind of reflect a little bit.
Yeah.
If we're going to.
Yeah.
You know, New Year's resolutions this time
resolution.
Of year.
Oh, resolutions.
It is.
That wonderful word.
It is.
Yes, it's time.
So what do
so
you think?
So should they get their pen and paper?
Maybe we should get pen and paper. So talking about New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
The top two, typically, New Year's resolutions that people make.
Yes.
Can you think you can guess one?
Oh, gosh. I do this every year, so I know which one of them is. Lose weight.
Lose weight, absolutely, and healthy. Stay fit or get healthy, some kind of body, another body. Another one is get organized. Those are like the top three New Year's resolutions.
Absolutely. In fact, I heard somebody say on TV the other day that the health gyms are full in January and a part of February.
Absolutely. Do you know why?
Why, doctor?
Well, statistically, only 8% of people actually achieve a New Year's resolution.
No way.
Yes.
No way. I got to write that down. Only 8% of people achieve a New Year's resolution?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's crazy. That's a pretty bad statistic.
That's a horrible statistic.
Woo! Wow. Why is that? Do they set the bar too high?
There's a lot of reasons that contribute to that. Absolutely. It can set the bar way too. Are you going to weigh in, Chris?
Yeah, Chris, talk to us.
I see the shock and awe on your face.
I know. 8%, Chris. That's crazy.
So I was reading something the other day, and you guys are going to laugh, but it's true. And I guess that's why you laugh, because it's true. Someone said something. They're like, you know what? I'm not going to do New Year's resolutions this year. You want to know why? Because nobody wants to see, nobody wants to deal with a skinny, sober jerk like me anyway.
Because
really, that's it. Those are the, that's what you try to do. You try to lose weight, you try to stop drinking, and you try to, you know,
be nice.
Be nice. Whatever. Like, whatever. It's.
I love that. Yeah. That, but that's, those are, there are common resolutions, and those are some of the most common ones.
And that's one of the reasons, because you guys were talking about gyms and how in January and February they're all packed. That's the reason why gyms do $10 a month memberships, because they get you in January and February, and then mentally in your head you think to yourself, well, it's only $10 a month. Who cares? If I go, great. If I don't, whatever. It's only $10 a month. So you don't ever really care about whether or not you're going, because monetarily it's only $10. But if you spent $30 a month to go to the gym, you would go, because now you're thinking, well, what the heck? I'm spending $30 a month. I better go, or otherwise it's a waste of my money.
Right.
And so you're it's really weird. It's almost like reverse psychology, but you're more likely to actually continue going to the gym if you're spending more money.
Yeah, and it's an investment.
And chances are the gym that's costing you more money is nicer. So you might be more inclined to go because there's more options, there's more things for you to do. Maybe they have a sauna or a juice bar or some of that stuff.
Yeah, good points. Thanks for weighing in. That's right on.
It is. I always appreciate Chris's input.
Oh, yes, yes.
So with sobering statistics is only 8% of
that's crazy.
New Year's resolutions being successful, when we make them, we're almost setting ourselves up completely for failure.
Failure.
True. Now, we should always want to strive to do things a little better in our life, but why do we fail? I think one of the reasons we set the bar way too high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or we make it unachievable because it's too long of a goal and we lose our focus.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I hear people, you know, financial is another one that I hear a lot of people make, and they're like, oh, well, I'm going to have all my debt paid off in 12 months. And then, you know, they own 40,000 in credit cards and they make 35 a year. And I'm like, this is not
happening.
Not going to
happen. Not going to happen. Right.
So unrealistic.
And, but we tend to do unrealistic things. We set ourselves up for failure, but we want life to be different. That's the goal.
We do. So we look in the mirror on New Year's, you know, after we've had our tonight's party, and we're like, oh my gosh, my life stinks, or this stinks on my life, and I need to lose 70 pounds, and I got to stop drinking and smoking, and I need to go to the gym, and I need to do X, Y, Z.
Sure.
I need the debt paid off, and oh, my house that's got 25 years of stuff stored up and it needs to be completely organized and
labeled. I gotta do it. I gotta get it done. Yeah.
And then, we're good for like a couple weeks and we might make a few good steps, and then we're like, oh, I can't do this.
I can't do this. Goal setting. Doesn't this whole topic go into goal setting and how sometimes our goals are so unrealistic, really?
They can be. And so then we set ourselves up to fail, and then we feel miserable because now we just have another failure to put in our life story.
Right.
And so it makes us feel depressed or down or just beaten. And then we're like, why should I do anything to do better? I can't do this.
I can't do it.
Hear that so many times sitting in my office. Well, I just can't. I've done it before. And I'm like, yeah, really? We're going to do it different this time.
Right. So what do you advise them, doctor? We're so glad we have you on board for this show every week.
Well, you know what?
Talk to us.
And I don't want to sit and make these, you know, 10 or 15 years resolutions, because we're not.
So you don't have
your clients. 8% doesn't work for me.
No. You don't have your clients sit down and make resolutions necessarily.
Not at all. We do not make New Year's resolutions. We may make.
Newsflash, Dr. Angel does not recommend that we all make New Year's resolutions.
We might make some small goals.
Okay.
We might even have kind
Sounds more doable.
A long-term little idea of where we want some of these goals to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But we work on making them time We talk about SMART goals.
Okay.
So they have to, you know, be measurable, and attainable means realistic. They
okay.
need to have a time frame set to them. And so if I say, if
attainable
I have...
Attainable and realistic. I like that.
So if I have a client who says, you know, she's 70 pounds overweight and she wants to lose weight and this is something real that to her, we might sit and say, okay, well, we're going to, for 30 days, what can we do to work towards this?
Okay.
We 30 days is a very small period of time. Or, you know, for 2 months, what are we going to do to work for? And maybe make one or two changes. We're not, nobody is going to make 15 changes towards one goal and it's going to last a year. It's not happening.
No, it won't. It's been my experience. It doesn't work.
So maybe if we just make one change and work on it for a month in one area of our life. I had, when I moved into my house, my garage was full of, you know, boxes from all kinds of different stuff that I had stored. And I had to take things out of storage. So I just ended up with all kinds of stuff. And I'm just looking in my two-car garage. It's just boxes. And I'm, like, overwhelmed. And I'm like, I want my garage organized. You know what? Then I said, you know what? I am going to go through one box a week.
Wow.
My garage was not spick and span in a month. But you know what? Now it's much better. And I'm still working on it. And
right.
I go through one box a week. And,
wow.
get you know, keep what I need, donate what I don't, and have labeled what I'm, you know, and it looks
that's
really
great.
Nice.
That's great.
But that's achievable. I can take that time. Was it take me 30 minutes
but
once a week?
But what's made you stick with it, doctor? I think that's the question, because a lot of people get bogged down as they're writing their life story because they can't stick with it. They don't remember, oh, and 3 weeks ago I'm buying it, I haven't gone through a box. I mean, that's,
well, first
know?
Of all, if you haven't done it, you can't go back and think life happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some weeks, you're right, I didn't do a box, but maybe I did two the next week.
Right.
Or maybe I sat in there once, I woke up one Saturday morning for 2 or 3 hours and went through a bunch of stuff. Just chunking it, taking it in small bits. And when there's
chunking.
A failure,
here we
yeah,
go,
we talk
chunking
about chunking
again.
All the time. But when there's a failure, you just don't be like, oh, I stink. I got to quit. I can't do this. This is not real. No, we just, okay, we'll pick up and keep moving forward. Keep it realistic. Make one or two little changes here. New Year's, what's one thing you could do for yourself? Maybe it's just make sure you get your sleep. Maybe it's,
yeah,
you know,
right,
something small. Maybe I'll work on a budget for the week and see how that works. Or a budget for this month.
How about rewards? How do they fit in?
We always need to have rewards. When we make little milestones, there's always some kind of positive thing that happens. And it can be just a self-reward. It can be, you know, a celebratory reward, depending on what, you know, how far you are into this goal. But we got to have those positive, because what happens when we set these humongo bongo New Year's resolutions, and we usually do set big ones, there's no payback.
Right.
And we're just like, forget this. I can't do this. It's too hard.
Right.
And then we're overwhelmed and we're frustrated and now we failed. And now we just need to go bury our heads in sand.
And that feeling of failure, me speaking of sand, is like quicksand. Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because all of a sudden, okay, I have messed up. I have gained weight instead of lost weight. And it's like you're going down for the count in the quicksand. You just don't even want to deal with it anymore. You just let it happen. You just eat whatever you want to eat.
And so here's the deal. That's why a lot of people just exist. And they just feel like, oh, well, my life story already, I mean, it's just writing itself. Well, because you're letting it write itself. And we can start taking back some of our power.
Take back some of your power. That's Dr. Angel's,
you know,
big deal. Take back your power.
It is my big deal. And so when you're looking this New Year's at a few things that, you know, you can make, you know, some things in my life story I'd like to be different. Maybe make a couple goals, but not the New Year's resolution breakdown of how we're changing our entire life in 10 goals in 1 year and it's happening, because it's not. Chunk it up. Make it small. Give yourself rewards.
Okay, I talked to a person today who is living with a very abused husband. He's an abuser, okay? He's not abused. He is the abuser, all right? And so she is telling me how he is arranging things financially so that, and financial abuse is very real, we
mm-hmm.
know that, so that if she takes a stand, gets an attorney, whatever, everything is like a house of cards that's going to fall down around them. So bankruptcy, everything. Okay. So he is setting things up. And so because of that, she can't make one step. She has to just stay because of his actions. Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And in abuse, she was very, very discouraged this morning. It was like, I have no way out because this house of cards is going to fall. So I can't do one thing about it. Now, do you see how that relates to this topic?
I do.
Okay, talk to me.
Well, the thing is...
Maybe she's listening.
Maybe, but the thing is first of all, sometimes the house of cards need to fall.
Right. I agree.
You know, bankruptcy is not great, but it's, the world is not going to come. It's not stop turning if bankruptcy happens. And you can rebuild. And
right,
it happens
sure.
all the time. Sometimes that they fall.
Right.
Because that's how it was set up. You didn't do it. You were powerless. But to stay trapped and let yourself be shackled because you don't want it to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, and I deal with it with lots of, you know, parents too, where their children might be, you know, acting aggressive or beating one of the parents. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to call the police because they won't get to college. I'm like, really? Because that's the least of your worries today.
Good point.
And so sometimes.
And this person says, I can't do anything because it will affect his job. If I call the police. The same concept.
The house of
I know we're kind of off on a
is.
Tangent, but yet it's really a part of this topic.
It is. And so we're developing our life story.
Right.
And so you're making
yes.
a conscious choice to be there.
Right.
When there are avenues to get out. There are, especially when you're talking about DV and there are shelters. And sometimes it's
DV, domestic violence.
Sometimes it's walking away from everything and letting the cards fall.
Right.
Sometimes it's what has to happen.
Sometimes all the resolutions in the world are not going to change an abuser, so therefore, what is best for you? And doesn't that come back to this whole theme we're talking about today on this first, the end of this 2015, but going into the new year? Developing your life story, what is best for you? Why do we always try to make abusers and other people around us their life convenient? Do you know what I mean?
I hear you. And a great point. So as we're developing our life story, that is one question we need to ask ourselves is, who am I going to be in this story?
Oh, I love that. I'm writing that down.
Who am I going to be in this story?
Say that again.
Who am I going to be in this story? What do I really believe?
Whoa.
Because, you know, it's easy to get ourselves fixed into, you know, seeing the illusion, oh, you like this person you're discussing where they feel trapped or because, oh, well, then we'll be bankrupt and we'll lose everything. And
right.
You don't have
and she
anything
believes
right
that.
Now. It doesn't
no,
matter.
No, she believes that.
If you're living seriously in abuse, you really don't have anything. You don't even have, you don't have power for yourself. And
right.
So what do I really believe? Sometimes it's fact checking to find out what's true and what's not true. Look at your beliefs in my life story. What do I believe in my life? I believe I'm powerless and I'm a victim? Or do I believe that, okay, things might really stink, but you know what? I can build.
Wow.
It's true. So what do I really value? And that's the next question you want to look at yourself and your life story. Because your life story tells what you value, what you believe. It's all written in your story because you know what? Our actions are based on what we value and believe. So when I have people come to me and they say, oh, I believe X, Y, Z, and then we go through their life story, because I do a lot of life story work in therapy, I'm like, yeah, totally no, you don't believe that at all. What do you mean? They're all offended. I'm like, let me show you how I know. And we take apart the life story that shows this is what you believe. This is what you value, because these are the really, this is in your story. So we always act and behave on what we believe and value.
You know what? Honestly, Doctor, can we take this on to another show next week?
Because we absolutely can.
That whole concept has got to be explored in depth because too many people are the result of things happening to them and they are not taking action to write their life story.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you and I both, I've counseled as a pastor for years and years and years, and you've counseled and do now, currently. And we have heard it over and over again that people are, this happened to me, and because this happened to me, now I can't do this. Or I'm, you know, I can never get out of this marriage, or I can never, and we're not advocates for divorce, nothing like that. But we are advocates for writing a proper life story.
Absolutely.
Where your life becomes a blessing, where your life becomes productive, purposeful, with passion. I'm using your words here, Doctor. And where your life doesn't just exist.
Exactly.
I could yell about this. I could preach about this right now because I've seen it too much through the years. It's affected my own family, and it has affected so many people I know.
And it does, isn't it? And so many of our listeners are sitting right there, and they're like, oh, gosh, it's already 2016. You know, it's right around the corner. It's knocking on in a few hours. And, oh, I totally thought I'd be somewhere different.
Yes.
Totally thought, you know what? Okay. What are we going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it?
You may not be where you want to be, so let's start making a goal this year. Let's make one goal and make it, you know, timestamp it, make it measurable, make it right. How am I going to get this goal? I know we've done Smart Goal Talk show before, but, you know, when we're looking at a goal, is what are all the steps I need to take to make this goal happen?
Right.
And then what are all the potential obstacles I could come across with this goal?
Whoa.
So if we're looking at those obstacles, so we're already projecting at what might be some things that make this goal difficult for me to achieve. So if your goal, say it's losing 10 pounds or what, losing weight, and you're going to work on it for 3 months to lose 10 pounds, which would be realistic.
Realistic.
And so you might say, okay, I am going to take soda out of my diet.
I'm going to quit driving through McDonald's and buying 3 chocolate chip cookies at once instead of one.
I might only have dessert twice a week. I will cut out fast food. You know, whatever. I won't eat late at night. Whatever steps. I'm going to drink more water.
Bottles of water. Kevin, Chris has got a way in here. I see him chomping at the bit in there.
Yes.
It's killing him. What do you want to say, brother?
If you stop bringing in 3 cookies, I'm out of here. I do not approve of the stopping of the 3 cookies.
You don't? Okay. But do you know, actually, McDonald's, you can get a pack of 13. I just wanted you to know.
Well, that's a full baker's dozen.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
You can.
How big are these cookies that you speak of?
They're about like this. They're very good. They're excellent. You know, and if when I pull through and just order one, they always say, wouldn't you just rather have 3?
Wouldn't you just rather have 13?
Or a couple.
Sold.
That's the problem. Oh, thank you, Chris. But, okay, so we got to keep the chocolate chip cookies coming, Doctor.
We can't lose Chris.
To keep Chris into it. Okay.
So when we're making that, so we're going to write, you know, 5-6 specific steps that we're going to take to help us attain whatever the goal is we're working on. And then what are some obstacles? So it might be, oh, well, when I'm pushed for time, I just go through the drive-thru because it's easy.
Oh, that's my life. Yes, go ahead.
Or whatever. And so these might be obstacles that I come across. Or when I'm feeling stressed, I really want those chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah,
from the Golden Arches.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can say, okay, these are the times that I know I fall. I could have a problem. So then what can we do about those times? And so maybe having an alternate plan. Maybe you need to have a healthy dinner that you keep in the freezer for those moments where you have no time and you can pop something in the microwave that's healthy you made, and now you have dinner instead of being pressed
for time. Are you speaking right to me, doctor? It seems like you are.
I'm not trying to.
No, but these are all great. This is... You know, if weight loss, let's say, living healthy lives, getting our blood pressure down, getting off so many medications or whatever is a goal for most people, and I believe it is, then what we're talking about tonight is life-changing, and changing your life story is doable.
Absolutely.
And it's just a matter of being present in the moment and being conscious, making conscious decisions. When the guy says, wouldn't you rather have 3 or 13, I simply say, no, forget it. I'm not even going to buy the 1.
Aww.
But I don't say that. I'm just saying I could say that.
You could say that. But here's the thing. Instead of making 10 New Year's resolutions or 15 that we're going to probably not be successful, why don't you make one goal?
One.
And make it completely in the SMART goal format. Write down the goal. Write down what you want.
One goal.
Make it short term. I would say 3 months or less. Let's make it 5 or 6 steps to get there. Identify 3 or 4 obstacles. Identify ways to help you overcome your obstacles. And just do one. Because I guarantee when we take it apart, we will be a lot more likely to find success. And then find someone to share your goal that's an accountability partner.
You know what? We're going on with this next week.
We should.
Because there is a whole lot more here, and we are running out of time on this New Year's Eve 2015. And this show has been all about developing your life story, and guess what? It is in the process of happening. So allow that to happen, and let's make some changes in this new year that are going to be doable. That's what I hear you saying.
We want to be successful.
Successful.
8% does not work for me.
8% is lousy numbers.
It is, really.
It really is. New lease on life. That's our theme, always.
Always. And we're in 2016, so I just want to give a big old Happy New Year's to everybody.
Happy New Year! What New Year would there be if we did not ring this bell so many times? Happy New Year to all of you! Woo! It's always fun, Doctor.
It is.
It's going to be a great year on Go Yard. We've got
excited.
A lot of wisdom coming up this year and great insights, great suggestions are going to make life better for you.
I'm excited.
Auld Lang Syne.
I love this song.
Dr. Angel, it is so joyful to be a part of this with you, this endeavor, this labor of love, you know? You're amazing, and you have so much wisdom to share with our audience, and I appreciate you, and I love you.
Aww.
It's been a great year.
It's been a wonderful year.
It's been a great year on Go Yard. Woo! Any final thoughts, Dr. Angel?
Let's just take this week, let's work on one smart goal.
One smart goal. Here we go. See you next year on
Go Yard
with
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac. Bye, guys.
Happy New Year's. Good night.
Happy New Year.
Anybody really know?